Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Rick Gosselin, and he's a part of the 26-member Blue Ribbon panel, which voted to determine the NFL's all-time team. Rick, thanks for giving us a couple of your minutes, man.
Oh, my pleasure. Cleveland was one of my favorite stops when I was on the NFL beat.
Well, we always have news. I think that's probably the reason why.
What was your favorite thing about Cleveland, Rick?
Yeah, tell us.
What did you love Cleveland so much?
I got to know Bill Belichick in the early 90s in Cleveland. That's paid off down the road.
Yeah, I gotcha.
It certainly.
What was he like back in the day?
He was good. I mean, yeah. He was a little more humble than he is now.
I bet.
But one thing hasn't changed from then and now is if you want to talk football with Bill Belichick, he'll talk all day. If you want to talk the mundane, day-to-day stuff about his football team, he's got no time for you. He's not a small talk guy, but he'll talk football philosophy, football history, football theory with you all day long. That's one thing that hasn't changed.
Well, covering the Cowboys for as long as you did, I'm sure you heard the story this past week about Bill Belichick and Jerry Jones and them being at a ski resort and Bill Belichick saying, hey, keep me in mind, and Jerry Jones remembering years later that maybe he probably should have heeded that advice.
Yeah, he probably should have. And they wouldn't be in this quarter of a century without a championship drought that they're in.
Rick, I love the bitterness that you sound like in your voice. Like, you're a true fan, man. That's great.
Yeah.
No, I was there. I covered the team. And the reason I got hired is because I knew Jimmy Johnson and the staff when I was covering the Big 8 in Kansas City. Had a relationship with those guys. They hired me, and I knew that staff. And I was there the night that myself and Ed Warder, when Jerry Jones basically fired Jimmy Johnson. We were in the bar with Jerry until 5 in the morning when he decided he was going to fire Jimmy. So I know the whole backstory on it, and that's if Jimmy Johnson had stayed, he would have might have won two more Super Bowls and be in the Hall of Fame already. And Jerry Jones wouldn't be talking about this 25-year drought that he's got going on right now.
It's crazy to think about. Rick, you've been covering the NFL for 47 years. This has been your whole life's work in covering the NFL. Have you ever seen anything as crazy as what Myles Garrett did last Thursday?
Yeah, and I think that the NFL made a statement. This is what happens. If you can hit somebody in the head with the helmet, you're going to get suspended for the rest of the year. It's 7 games in Myles' case, but it could be 14 games. They had to make a statement. This can't happen again. That was such a black eye for the NFL. And the hearing apparently didn't go very well for Myles either. Accusing Rudolph of the racial slur. I'm not sure that was a wise move. I think he might have got it reduced had he not talked about that. It was unproven. Basically, most of these quarterbacks are mic'd up. You're going to have ready proof right away, and the NFL didn't buy what Myles was saying.
It's interesting. You think that him bringing it? What if it did happen though? I mean, what's he supposed to do? And I don't know if it happened or didn't happen. I'm just playing devil's advocate here a little bit. You know, you think that hurt his case?
If it did happen, then there's a problem there, and Rudolph is going to get off. And frankly, you know, I you look at the tape. You know, Rudolph started. He was trying to get Garrett's helmet off. I was surprised he didn't get suspended. But there's so much sound available on the field. And like I said, most quarterbacks are mic'd up for games. And they obviously didn't buy what Myles was saying. So,
Do you feel like he handled it correctly after the fact? I mean, you've seen more post-game scrums than anybody around. Do you feel like he handled it correctly? Or would you have just, at that point, come out and said, hey, listen, this is what I heard?
Well, the apology. Yeah, I think when you do something like that, everybody's going to come down. Yeah, Twitter killed him when the video came out. I think he handled it initially. He didn't bring up Rudolph, you know, the potential racial slur until the hearing. I don't know. Again, he apologized up front, so I thought that was correct. And it would have been a much bigger story if he had thrown the Mason Rudolph slur out there. Alleged slur out there early on. Mm-hmm. Then you got back and forth going between two locker rooms. It would have been a mess at that point.
Rick Gosselin joining us here.
Apparently the NFL didn't buy a story, so kind of its moot point.
Well, I mean, yeah, we'll wait and see. You know, we still got to see if more information comes out. We got to see everything. I mean, it's not, this is not a, this is far from a closed and shut case, as you know, Rick.
Sure. Yep.
Rick Gosselin.
Well, we have Roger Goodell to rule on these things.
Thank God for that, right, Rick?
So you were a part of this 26-member Blue Ribbon panel, which voted to determine the NFL's all-time team. Of course, it'll air tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern, revealing the 12 running backs who made the team, and, of course, two of the head coaches. Series airing Friday at 8 p.m. through December 27th. I'm excited because, I like Rich Eisen, I like Chris Collinsworth, but having Bill Belichick on that panel as well and him executing some of his thoughts and what he believes to be true is great. But take me through the process. You got 26 guys all in a room. It's just like the largest sports radio battle you could imagine. And then how did you possibly decide who came out on top?
Well, we did this a year ago. We did the meeting in the summer of 2018. So we went in there for 2 days, and we discussed 100 years of football. And that's what people have to remember. This is a centennial team. That's 10 decades of football. That's 100 years of football players. If you base this team on stats, you could pick all 100 players that have played from 1970 on, but you had to look at eras. And that was my concern. I wanted to make sure that the players, the two-way players, the guys that the great players that played before 1950 and 1955 were represented on this team. And I think that's the issue. Are you going to put on a Sammy Ball over a Dan Marino? Are you going to put on a Dutch Clark over O.J. Simpson? You know, you can't discount these guys because they didn't have the stats. It was a different era. They were playing 12 game seasons, many of them, not 16 games. They didn't have stats, and stats weren't important. They weren't even counting stacks back then. So you had to look at the dominance of an era. And Don Hutson, for instance, was as dominant in the 30s and 40s, even more so than Jerry Rice was in the 80s and 90s. Now, everybody in the world would take Jerry Rice over Don Hutson, but you can't discount the dominance of the era of Don Hutson. I think the committee did a good job of looking at those guys and say, look, we're going to have some of those guys in this team. I was hoping they'd have between 13 and 16 players from the two-way era, the pre-1950 era. I'd be surprised if there are that many, but I think when the teams come out, and frankly, I don't know who's on the team. We voted, but they never gave us the results, so I'm as anxious to see as you are. But I think when the team comes out, I think there'll be names that people don't know, and I think there'll be a lot of familiar names that people are going to wonder why they got left off. And I think they got left off because they made an effort to get the pre-1950 guys on there.
But that'll be the fun of it. That's what's going to get people outraged. They'll be like, well, I've never even heard of this guy. How is he possibly ahead of player X? But you got the running backs tonight. Give me a sneak preview in your own mind then how you were voting when you decided between Jim Brown, Walter Payton, or the field.
There was no discussion there. Jim Brown's the greatest player to ever play football. There's Jim Brown, then there's space, then you get the rest of these groups.
Okay, all right.
Jim Brown. If Jim Brown is not on that team, I will resign my commission from that post.
That's the confidence we need, Rick.
He's gonna be on that team. And then after that, I look at completeness. Guys that could run, catch, and block. You know, Walter Payton and guys like Marcus Allen, Payton, Marshall Faulk, they were right up there as far as completeness. Running backs, the most dynamic runner I've ever seen was Barry Sanders. I mean, he's a guy that I would pay to see run. You know, Emmett's got the stats. He's got the rushing penalties. He's got the all-time rushing record. You know, where does he fit in? O.J. Simpson, the window of dominance. Earl Campbell, another smaller window of dominance. And if you just look at the stats, I mean, you know, the fourth and fifth leading rushers of all time aren't even on this list of semifinalists.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Gore and Curtis Martin. Now, do they fit when you talk about, would you take Eric Dickerson over Curtis Martin? Would you take Marshall Faulk over Frank Gore? And that's all part of the debate. So we spent 2 days debating. We didn't vote. We went home. And then we voted by position. Here's the list. Give us your 10 quarterbacks. Here's the list. Give us your 12 running backs. Here's the list. Give us your 10 wide receivers. Right down the line. And again, I have no idea who won, but I think you can make a pretty good assumption that Jim Brown and Johnny Unitas and Tom Brady and people like that, I mean, Lawrence Taylor, Reggie White, those people are going to be on this.
It sounds exhausting. I'm going to be honest.
This job sounds really tough.
It was a blast. It was a blast.
Was it?
I thoroughly enjoyed sitting in a room with Bill Belichick and Don Shula and John Madden.
Yeah, that's cool.
Ozzie Newsome, Art Shell, Bill Polian, Ron Wolf, Hall of Famers, in deciding who the 100 best players are in the history of football, it was an absolute rush. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I felt strongly, again, we can't shortchange the players' first six decades because we're not going to do this again for another 100 years. We can't screw this one up. So we didn't.
Hey, Rick, what's the greatest team you've ever seen, you've covered in your life?
62 Packers.
What's that?
62 Packers. 62 Packers.
What was so great about them?
11 Hall of Famers, Hall of Fame coach. They lost one game. They lost to Detroit on Thanksgiving, which had always been a nightmare. They played Thanksgiving every year, short week. But that was that 11 Hall of Famers. They just that was the best team I've ever seen.
Wow.
Best team of the Super Bowl era. Wow. You know, I'm partial to the 92 Cowboys. I think they're in the discussion.
They were good.
I think to pick a Steeler team. If you want defense, you take the 75 team. If you want offense, you take the 78 team. 49ers, I love the 84 team, and Jerry Rice wasn't on that team. That team went 15-1, and yet most people will tell you 88 or 89 when they were an offensive team. And the early Super Bowl teams, San Francisco, were more defensive-centric. But people like offense, so by and large, they're the best offense. I think one of the most underrated champions was the 69 Chiefs, which has, in my opinion, one of the two or three best defenses of all time. They had six Hall of Famers. And they're the only defense in the Super Bowl era to lead in all four categories. Defense, run defense, pass defense, scoring defense.
Rick, you're an encyclopedia of the NFL.
What's that?
You're an encyclopedia.
I see why you were on the list. This
like,
is it.
Like if I put you on this, Rick, could you name those six Hall of Famers by chance on the 69 Chiefs?
Yeah.
I don't want to put you on the spot. I'm so impressed by your knowledge.
He's going to get it. You know he's
like
going to get it.
I'm freaking out right now. It's incredible.
Cannon. Culp, Lanier, Lynch, Robinson, Boston.
Have you ever thought about going in sports Jeopardy?
Jeez.
No, I know. I'm on the Hall of Fame Senior Committee, and I made the pitches for Culp and Robinson. I made the pitch for Mick Tingelhoff. I made the pitch for Gene Hickerson. And I've got a pretty good track record of getting guys through when we bring them onto the Senior Committee. I made the pitch for Jerry Kramer. When they want to get a guy through, they generally give them to me. So I got a pretty good grasp on the history of the sport.
Is Clay Matthews going to get in?
I hope so. He needs to be in the discussion, and that's the problem I've got with the Hall of Fame process. Not enough worthy candidates are discussed. There are so many. On the senior committee, I've got 65 all-decade players in the senior pool, and most of them have never been discussed. Clay Matthews isn't even one of them. I mean, there are 30 more players that were not all-decade players that need to be discussed. I got a list of 100 seniors I would love to see discussed. And I think many of them would be voted Hall of Famers. But most of them aren't even going to get in the room. When you're bringing out one and two seniors a year, a lot of seniors are left behind. When we talked initially about the centennial class, we were initially talking about 20 or 25 seniors, which would have put a dent in the long gap. But we only got 10. So there's a small bump. But,
wow.
Yeah, I think Clay Matthews should be discussed. There's so many great players that aren't in that need to be discussed. And I think one of the things that hurts him, he's a defensive player that didn't win championships. And those guys, they're long shots. They are long shots because they don't really have the stats, the offensive guys, and that lack of rings. 66% of everybody in Canton wears a ring.
Wow.
The championships, like it or not, does weigh heavily in the selection process. And that's hurt Clay. But the man needs to be discussed.
Rick, we'll check
centennial class. It's not been very soon.
We'll check out the series as it's starting to air every Friday, 8 Eastern. Of course, tonight they reveal the 12 running backs who made the team and, of course, two of the head coaches. And if it is not Jim Brown at the top, I will assume you have just exited the chat and you've just removed yourself from the discussion. So I'll live knowing that, and I appreciate that, Rick.
Tell Jim I voted for him.
Yeah, well, I'll pass it along. Thanks, Rick. Appreciate
Rick,
the time,
this was fun.
Man.
Thanks, man.
A lot of fun.
Okay, guys.
Okay,
take
man.
Care.